Okay, thank you. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains a recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please welcome tonight Chanel T., a compulsive overeater from Washington State. Welcome, Chanel.
Hi, thank you, Suzanne.
You're
Thank you so much.
welcome.
And thank you, Catherine, and everybody who reached out to me about this meeting. It sounds like a lovely place to be on a Sunday night. Hi, I'm Chanel T. I'm in Washington State. I am a grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today. Can you hear me okay? Thumbs up? Okay. All right, good. Now I'm going to attempt to share my screen. I'm not particularly great at this. So before we do that, I'm going to warm us up with something. You don't even need to go there because I'm just going to read it. It's so quick. On page 328 in the story, Crossing the River of Denial, her first sentence there is, "Denial is the most cunning, baffling, and powerful part of my disease, the disease of alcoholism." Denial is the most cunning, baffling, and powerful part of my disease, the disease of compulsive eating. And I say compulsive eating because I have a couple of different manifestations. And I guess my phone's going to yell at me. So let's turn that off. All right. Here's what she says. When I look back now, it's hard to imagine I didn't see a problem with my drinking. But instead of seeing the truth when all of the yets, as in that hasn't happened to me yet, started happening, I just kept lowering my standards. I believe I was born in this disease, but it did not show on my body for the first 28 years of my life. So you're like, okay, I can't relate. Yeah, I did crazy things so that it didn't show on my body for the first 28 years. I still didn't fit in with people. I still got bullied. I still didn't fit in with my own family, who's a family of really nice people who are addicts, most of them, but none with the food. I felt like an alien all the time, and I always felt like I was looking through, I guess you would say, glass that needs to be cleaned. It's smeared. And I'm trying to look through at everybody else living their lives. And I'm over here. Like, do you not see me? I'm actually here. I'm here. But I never really felt part of. And food was the one thing always, particularly certain foods and ingredients, and I won't go into what those are because it doesn't matter. But I have certain foods and ingredients and behaviors that either when the food or ingredient passes my lips, the moment it does, or I take part in certain behaviors, I get an effect that is elusive and that I want again. It's an effect where I feel part of. It's an effect where I feel like I'm okay. It's an effect where I don't have fear. It's an effect where I don't have too much excitement, too much depression. And I don't mean clinical depression. I mean, I'm just sad. It's an effect that's elusive, and I will keep going back for it endlessly without a spiritual solution. And that's why I'm here, because everything else I tried failed eventually. I'm a world champion dieter. I could probably win at least a bronze medal in that at the Olympics. I'm a world champion compulsive exerciser, crazy amounts of exercise. Remember, I talked about how I did things to stay at a certain body size. I'm a world champion scale obsessive. And by that, I mean body scale. I don't think I'm the right weight at any time, ever. No, it doesn't matter. Let's just keep getting lower. Or I'm just not going to get on it at all because I don't want to see how high I've gotten. It's one or the other for me. Even now, I have to pray up before I get on that scale once a month, which is what is my agreed amount that I get on it. I have to pray up. I have to pray around it. I have to talk to people. My sponsor knows, my nutritionist knows. I got a sick head. The good news is that I also have a solution today that I didn't know existed for most of my life. I didn't know about it. I wasn't really open to it either. That's the truth of the matter. So, growing up, my parents monitored what I ate for a while there when they saw that certain foods, like, oh, I mean, you know, those kind of chewable vitamins that they had for kids, Flintstones. Yeah, those, if anybody remembers those, my mom had them in the middle of the table. So each of the kids would remember to take theirs in the morning. And I just proceeded to eat the whole thing when no one was looking. They don't even taste good, but they gave me a hit. So they realized early on that I was one of these people that maybe that wasn't like them, but you can't keep that much sugar around Chanel. You can't keep that much this, that, whatever it is, snacky foods, or just the ingredients themselves, because I'm not safe with them. So my parents figured this out and they monitored it by hiding it from me. But the thing is, my disease is very, very powerful. And eventually, when enough trauma happened to me in my life when I was 7 years old, and I won't go into that, a lot of us have a trauma log. A lot of us have had serious things happen to us. And that's not why I'm a compulsive eater. But after that happened at seven, where my whole world turned upside down, I thought I was going to die because I probably was. And I was saved, and I am so grateful, of course, but I wasn't then because nothing made sense anymore. Nothing in life made any sense anymore. I already felt like I was on the outside looking in. Now, people at school, their parents wouldn't let them play with me anymore because they heard about what happened. People were bullying me in school about what happened because it happened on the school grounds after school. So somehow it must have been my fault at 7 years old, right? Why do I say this? So you'll feel sorry for me? No, because someone in here can resonate with what it is to have something happen where there's no fault of yours, but you were held accountable for it anyway and didn't know what to do about it. And my parents, God bless them, they did the best they could. They had no idea what to do about this. They just wanted me to not talk about it and get over it because that was what they thought was the best thing for me to do. Thank you, Zoom, for raising my hand. I realized that the adults that were supposed to be reliable for me weren't. It wasn't that they were unsafe, it was that they couldn't be there in the way that I needed them to be. And with that realization, I had to turn somewhere else. I was already turning to food as much as I could. But at this point, it was survival, and I will find those ingredients. So whenever I was left alone long enough, I went through every part of the kitchen and found the things that I wouldn't get caught having. Thank God I didn't turn to alcohol. There was alcohol in the house. I could have gotten to it. But that didn't occur to me at seven, and I'm so grateful. What I turned to instead were items that you would use for baking, but that someone might not notice for several months are gone. And I ate those raw ingredients every day. Things in the freezer that mom bought in bulk that someone wouldn't notice because they were in the back, but would give me a hit. Things that are supposed to be mixed with water in a pitcher, I would just eat raw. Why did I do it? Because that was my best friend. That gave me a feeling of ease and comfort. And Dr. Silkworth talks about that in the big book, Roman numeral section. The doctor's opinion saves my life every single day of my life. Ever since coming back in January of, well, I came back at the end of 2022, but got serious about it and put down the food and white knuckled it through getting through the steps and had a spiritual awakening in January of 2023. So I'm skipping around a little bit. Let's see if I can pull up just in case anybody wants to see a picture. Let's see if I can. I'm not going to promise it, but we'll see if I can. All right. Does that share for you guys? Can you see it?
No,
Yeah. Okay.
we're not seeing anything.
You're not seeing it. Okay. Let's see what happens if I do this. Now, do you see me with long hair?
I can see that you've started. Yes.
Okay. You can actually see that. All right. So this is me not at my top weight. This is when I had almost all of my hair that I lost trying to do something to, one of the methods we have tried. I did some hormonal things to try to help myself a little bit after this. So this would have been in 2022, and it was probably like May. And I just had my hair colored, which was the only time I was going to let anybody take a picture of me. And I took a selfie. And if you look at it, you can see. Now, I realize you can't see my eyes right now through the glasses, but if you look at this picture, you can see that the eyes look dead. They look dead. The lighting is fine. The hair looks nice, even though my hair is not straight. He always straightened it, right? And you can see I am already trying to hide a good percentage of my face because I was so ashamed of who I was. It wasn't just my body size. It was that I was in bondage and I had been in bondage. But as of my late 20s, when my mom passed away unexpectedly, at this picture, I was 55 or almost 55. I could no longer outrun this disease. I couldn't outrun it anymore, literally. I couldn't do enough Jane Fonda aerobics or jazzercise. I couldn't do enough lifting weights. I couldn't do enough of to stay ahead of it anymore. And so I went on these crash diets and then I would regain again after the diet. And then so every
15
time anybody
minutes.
saw me who hadn't seen me in a while, I was either 50 pounds up, 60 pounds down, 70 pounds up, 80 pounds down. And you notice that sometimes I went underweight too. Not enough for anybody to tell me about it. In fact, I got compliments for it when I was a size or two too low. Some of you can relate to that, that in society, American, Western society, Canadian, we think it looks good when someone's too thin sometimes to a certain point. And I never got past that point. So I always kept trying to get back to that for that attention. That was another one of my behaviors, seeking your approval and the male gaze to tell me that I'm okay. So here in this picture, I've spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get my hair colored and feel like I look human. But I was so miserable. So miserable. And I wish I could find to share with you a picture to put in contrast to it, where my hair had also been colored and I was a little too thin. But if you're looking at it, it doesn't really look like that. I was probably two sizes down from where I am now. But I was posing and I was looking as good as I could. And it's the best I've ever looked with clothes on. And yet the eyes were deader than they are there. The things I had to do to stay thin without a spiritual solution that we get through this big book and working the steps, I was so miserable. And my daughter will tell you that even though we did a lot of things and I had quit my job to be with her, those were not happy years for her. This period where you're seeing me there in this picture, and I'm going to stop sharing now if I can figure out how. And then thank you for being patient with my lack of techno wizardry.
We've just got 17 minutes left.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Yeah, my daughter will tell you that she had Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as a parent. And you guys, I am solo addicted. I am addicted with food and food behaviors. It is not other things, but you would think the way that I acted that I was a heroin addict because I was going to get my fix. And no one and nothing could stand in my way. I was going to get it. And when I was dieting and restricting, because you know how it says, and it does say this in the big book elsewhere, I cannot enjoy my food if I control it. And I cannot control my food if I enjoy it. That's me in a nutshell. And denial, denial, denial. I just need a better diet. I just need a better job. I just need a better boyfriend. I just need a better husband. I just need somebody else's husband. Yes, sadly. I just need to be prettier. So let me go get this hair done. I just need to run more. Well, I wasn't a runner, but I might as well have been with the amount of exercise I did. I just need to be promoted. I just need a different life than what I have. Because if you had my life, you would eat like this too. You would be miserable too. And that's throughout the big book that people talk about this, starting with Bill W. In Bill's story, he talks about this. I can relate to Bill. I ate like Bill ate. And I thought like Bill thought. And I felt like Bill felt. So what happened? What happened? Crazy amounts of dieting and roller coasters, right? And also the crashes that would come where I'd even end up in the hospital sometimes because my sugar went so low because I had brought it up so high as a non-diabetic person at that point. Health problems started happening. I was hurting. I was tired all the time. My brain was foggy. I was blaming that all on menopause. Yeah, that's not all it was. Menopause is for real. It's serious. But what was going on was I was in bondage to this disease and I was face down in the food most of the time. And if I wasn't, I was white knuckling some crazy diet, crazy diet. I hesitate to say anything about what my diets were, but I will tell you the last one that was the longest, that did more damage to my body. I'm still getting medical treatment. And there's only so much they can do. And physical therapy for things I did to my own skeleton in this disease. Okay. And I feel the healthiest I've ever felt. It's just there's long-term damage I've done. 6 days a week, I restricted. My calories were too low. They were enough to survive, but they were too low. And I didn't pay attention to what I was eating. It was just the amount of calories. That's all I did was calories. And then on the seventh day, that may be a Sabbath, right? Well, I took a Sabbath from my diet and I ate everything and anything I possibly could. And people are like, wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's where I did the most damage to my body. And my brain, and my relationship, most importantly, with my daughter. I was happy on binge day as long as you didn't get in my way, but it wasn't like I was eating healthy. And the days when I was restricting, I wasn't eating healthy. Well, let me have this dessert for lunch. That fits the calories. I won't get to eat anything else, but I'll eat that. Let me have this uber processed food and wonder why I still feel like I didn't eat anything. And then on that Sunday or Saturday, it usually was just eat like a maniac. Just that's all I wanted to do that day. That's it. And then feel sick and then know that I needed more to help myself feel better. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. I feel sick from all I've eaten. So let me just eat this other thing and then I'll feel better. Denial, cunning, baffling, and powerful. So I better start getting into the good parts. I'll just say, we went to a family reunion. We had never had one. I have a small family, but one of my brothers died at 64, who was very healthy. It turned out he had a heart, congenital heart defect nobody knew about. And he died unexpectedly. And so I decided we needed to have a family reunion. And I'm so not that person to organize anything like that, but I did. And we met in Southern Oregon, where my sister lives, and realizing these are all half siblings for me. So I already have that I don't feel part of, right? They all know each other super well, but I'm related by one parent to them. So I'm pointing that out for a reason. We went down. I was fully in the disease. It was, I think, right after the picture I showed you, the end of May. So Memorial Day weekend of 2022. And I could barely move around the property. I could barely walk the dog. And I really didn't even want to get out of bed. Driving down there, I had to arrange it. So usually I'll drive straight, it's 8.5 hours, but I had to arrange it so we spent 2 nights because I just didn't have the energy. And that's all directly from this disease. It's all directly from how I was eating. No longer could I starve for restrict for 6 days. That had long since passed. I was just binging all the time. If I was awake, I was binging. I could not stop anymore. I could not stop. And the more I wanted to stop, the more I ate. That's the point it had progressed to for me. So we're there and we're visiting family. And that's uncomfortable for me anyway, but we're visiting family. They're nice people. I just don't feel part of. And a picture was taken. I wish I could find it. I don't know where it is, but I am trying to disappear into the background as a picture of my daughter and two of my nieces who are just gorgeous are the centerpiece of they're the focal point of that picture. You could see me and you could see all of my chins as I'm trying to back up and just the misery, the
10 minutes.
absolute misery of my face, you could see. And fast forward from there, because it just continued to October of 2022. I said, I did have a higher power, and I still do. And I said, I call my higher power God. I said, God, please, I don't know what to do. I can't get the surgery, or I would, but I can't because I don't have the money for that. And it's not covered by insurance. And I can't diet anymore. And I can't exercise as much anymore. I can't. What can I do? Please just show me what to do. And rarely do I at least am I cognizant of such a clear answer. But the answer I immediately got, it wasn't auditory, it was just like it went through my brain, was go back to OA. I had been here in 2016. I just wanted you to diet with me and give me group support. I did not want anything more than that. I didn't see anything more than that when I was here either in 2016. In the mainstream rooms, using OA books that I absolutely love, the Enrich My program, they don't directly inform it today. You could have surrounded me with big books. It wouldn't have mattered. I wasn't ready. It wouldn't have mattered, but I didn't know you could even use that here. So I got this message, go back to OA. And I laughed because I knew that could not be God because OA doesn't work. And then I got the message again, but more specific. This time, right away, was go back to OA, look on your region site right now. My region? What's a region? I know what a region is, but OA? Oh, fine. I know this isn't God because OA doesn't work. So I go on my computer or my phone, it doesn't matter. And I look up Overeaters Anonymous region for Washington State. Oh, that's region one. Okay. So I go on their site. Oh, there's a virtual convention happening this week, that week. It's sliding scale because we didn't even get into all my under earning because of my being face down in the food and unable to live a normal life. And so I went to this virtual convention. It was the first time I'd ever heard of, remember, I don't think it's the only way to recover. It's the only way I could recover. The big book being used in OA. It was the first time I'd heard of that. I heard about a meeting in the morning. That's a phone meeting. And I laughed at that because I had been to OA phone meetings. I'm like, whatever. No. Yeah, I go to that every day. It's called A Vision for You. And I met people who were serious about not abstinence, not following a food plan. Those were prerequisites. But having recovery, having freedom, having food neutrality, did not even think that was possible. It took a while to get a sponsor who would work with me daily or almost daily, which is what I needed, and go through quickly, which is what I needed. Again, only speaking about me, I don't know what you need. I only know what I need. Big book way, that's what we used. Finally, able to put all the food ingredients and behaviors down on January 18th of 2023. And like I said, just barely hang on to abstinence long enough to get through the steps. I did not have any pink cloud experience. And then suddenly realize, and I'll tell you this as one of my last things, Thank you for hanging out with me this long. Hopefully you're all still awake. I was at my neighbor's funeral. She had died unexpectedly. Absolutely love this woman, had known her a while. And I had asked the family how I could serve. How can I do service? And they asked me to be help at the wake. So I was going to help at the wake. And then the gal who was going to do one thing with me or somewhere else in the space got COVID. So this is 2023. This is February. She died on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So this was the end of February. I came in, got back in, got abstinent January 18th. So this gives you the timeline. So we're a little over a month later. I've worked through the steps. I'm technically in recovery, but I don't feel any different. Certainly the scale doesn't look much different yet because I was over 100 pounds over, as you saw in that picture. Guess what they had me do at that wake for almost 4 hours. I served I got it out of the package. I put it in the oven and took it out. I served it. I replenished it. I helped people with their plates of it. I cut it up. Every single binge food I've probably ever had. And not just that, but the gourmet version of it, because these people don't do anything halfway. For 4 hours and not one thing called to me. That is an absolute God miracle, because I cannot do that myself. I am incapable of that. My whole life, every memory, every holiday, every friend visit, everything I remember based around the food. Even if we went to Disneyland, I remember the food from when I was five very well. I remember it better than a lot of other things. But this time I was able to be present and do the service and not think about any of those things, those foods. They did not call to me. That's true food neutrality that I can't give myself. What do I do now? I sponsor people like my life depends on it. I do 10 steps through the day like my life depends on it. Reminds me, I haven't done any today. I need to have done them today, so I will. I do 11-step work like my life depends on it. I go to meetings that feed me, that feed my recovery. I make sure that happens. If I'm asked to share on a meeting, I share there. I don't say, well, you know, I don't know if I have anything to say. Somebody needs to hear this message. Probably a lot of you are like, I do not know why I came to this meeting today. But somebody needs to hear it, and God will use it. So higher power will use it. It's amazing to me, the people I've met, the fellowship I have. And you know what else? I'm in life now. It doesn't look great on my screen. I need better lighting, no question. But my life now, I'm fully engaged. And I realize it's truly the first time in my life, these last 2 years in recovery, where I'm fully here with you. And even though you don't know me at all, you get me on a level that nobody else can. And even though I don't know you at all, I know a couple of you, I get you on a way that no one else can, except in these rooms. We understand each other on a very basic level. We get it. And it's such a beautiful thing. And then also to see people come into recovery when you're sponsoring them, what a gift. What a gift. Doesn't happen all that often. I sponsor all the time, but not that often do they stick around, at least with me. But wow, when they do, and to see them sponsoring, working with others, oh my goodness, what a blessing. And I was petrified to do it. I didn't want to do it at all. I did it because I had to. Now I love it. I love it. Got to tell you, my daughter told me about probably 3 months in. She said, Mom, I just want to tell you that I'm so proud of you for what you're doing. She's 18 now. So she was just turning 16 as I was getting into this program and into recovery. She said, and she says it, I'm so glad you're my mom. Now, realizing I had completely broken our relationship, me, not her, not by being a teen, by me being an addict, for her to say that to me, and I see I'm coming down on time here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. That's a spiritual change. That's a psychic change that has come as a result of working these steps that I can show up as a mom differently than I ever did. And I finished my bachelor's degree after years of wanting to. And in the last few seconds, I'll tell you, I just got accepted to two different the places that I applied. Both of them accepted me for the MSW, that's Masters of Social Work, so that I can go and do that in 2 years. Of course, working this program like my life depends on it first. And then I'll do that too. And then I'll get to work, hopefully, with veterans and their families. And I'm just so excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am to engage in life. I'm not perfect. I mess up all the time, but I keep showing up here. And yeah, I keep my abstinence perfect because I have to. The rest of my program, oh, you all are helping me. You all are helping me. You're helping me find a way to do it today. And I am so grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chanel.